praise. Joshua, Christine, and then Michael.
So we had this guy working for us, and I had to let him go. He just wasn't going to make it. And he's a really good guy. I really hate to let him go. He had a set of twin babies at home he was taking care of. And so I told him, you know, bad news, I'm going to let you go. And he got a job next day.
Cool. So, amen.
And another one is I got another truck. Wasn't really planning on getting one, but the truck I had was, you know, breaking down a lot. Juice box caught on fire. I'll let y'all know that. Anyway, the Lord put me in a new truck, and I've never bought a new truck, never bought a truck with new tires on it. And this one's a brand new truck, new tires, under warranty. I feel pretty blessed to be in it.
Amen. Make it pay its way. Yeah. Christine, what's your praise?
Of course, we had storms come through yesterday. It got a little windy in the hood, per se.
Boy, it did.
And we actually had a guy down at the end of the street. The street fell in his front yard. Didn't fall on any cars. Didn't fall on the house. Fell straight to the road. So nobody got hurt. Luckily, he came, asked if we could help him cut it up, you know, get it out of the road, get it off his yard. So we were able to do that. And we have a young man who lives down the street, right next door to them, that came to VBS with Hunter last week.
Amen.
Who's been wanting to come to church more often, and he knocked on our front door this morning and asked if he would take him to church.
There you go. That's how it works.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Good day.
It's amazing if you're just open to letting the Lord use you, he'll do it. I got a big limb down in my front yard too, by the way. Just, you know, just saying.
He's a chainsaw man.
Yeah. Let's see. Michael was next.
Last year I signed up for a class to get my tax certificate so I could do that sort of work, and life happened. One thing led to another, and I wasn't able to do that class. And it turned out to be a little bit of a blessing in a couple of ways. The class wasn't talking about the new tax law. So I was looking at all the blogs and chats this year. Everybody was having problems. So I would have had a severe problem if I would have went into taxes this year. But the other thing is, it would have cost me another 50% to retake that class. And through whatever means, they changed the format. And it's not costing me anything to go through that class again.
Wow.
So that's a bit of a blessing.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that is a blessing. Keith.
I was out delivering in the weather yesterday and had no accidents, delivered all the packages.
Yeah.
That's a little bit late, but it's not bad.
I wasn't home when the big storm hit and tore up everything. All the cushions blown out into the yard, off the front porch, the big limb down. Something came through there that was rough. Of course, I missed it, but I don't really get too nervous over storms. They're a blessing most of the time, if you're in my business anyway.
It was bad Friday.
It was. That's the one I'm actually referring to, the Friday one. Okay, who's next? Boy, that was a tie. Let's see, any, meeny, miny. Go ahead, Tashana.
My praise is that I was able to make it to church even though I had a flat tire.
Oh, well, amen, amen. Nona?
My praise is I love this church family, and I know that they love me. Otherwise, they wouldn't pick on me as much as they do. They know I can take it.
But they know I can take it. Oh, amen, amen.
I just want to praise God for, he's really been putting a bunch of different teenagers and James in my path. So I don't know what the purpose is, but it's been pretty cool to be a blessing and to hopefully be a good example to them.
No, amen, amen, amen. That's obviously why the Lord's putting them in your path. It's the way it works. God does things pretty consistently. You know, he's not a God of great big surprises. You know, and when we're blessed and when God does what he said he would do, we'd like to think, wow, that's, I can't believe that. Well, God said he would do that, didn't he?
Amen.
Yeah, we shouldn't be so surprised. You could be excited and blessed, but it's normal to trust him. I had a little blessing. Randy, you'll appreciate this. And I know Charles will appreciate it. And he'll get the benefit of it. I was researching to find the best electronic offshore mapping system with all the right numbers and recs, and you know, because we're offshore people out there, you know. So the research all centered into one that Breakwater Marine has put together. That's all our local stuff where we fish here, and it's all the best guides and their best spots, and the numbers are all on this chart.
Breakwater Marine.
Breakwater Marine. The chart is $225 for the chip, and it loads into your electronics. So I was getting ready to go down and pick it up, and I talked to Nathan, and Nathan had already paid for one. They come with free updates, so he just called a guy, and I went down and picked up a fresh, brand new one, updated, put it in, and it's on both my machines now. So.
Oh, yeah, well, that's a blessing.
So, I saved $225.
That's a blessing.
And I've looked it over. I can't wait to get out there and start fishing some of these numbers because, boy, it is loaded with spots. Be a couple thousand spots on there. Well, I don't know. It's a lot. I know that. More than we'll ever get to fish. Yeah, oh, yeah. Gilbert.
Yeah, I praise the Lord because of my health. He has improved considerably from having high blood pressure of 130, 140, down to 109 over 62.
Amen. That's great. I need to get mine down a little bit more. Paula?
I miss the kids in Sunday school. They've graduated on to the next class. And I miss having Sunday school, but I'm getting Sunday school. It's a blessing to me because I haven't got to come to Sunday school in a long time. So maybe this is what God wants me to do. So.
Well, amen. Amen. Yeah. Mary?
Yeah, I got something. My granddaughter came down from Washington, D.C., and I went and spent some time with her. That's one of my sons that live way in Houston. And I spent the night for the first time with them. And something happened. I wake up in the morning, and his wife came out, and I said to her, I said, good morning. Did you have fellowship, you and your husband, together already? You know, worship together, praise the Lord together? She said, we don't do that. I said, excuse me? You don't do that? I'm just that kind of person. You know? I said, you don't do that? I said, do you know how much Satan loves you? She was kind of upset. I said that. I said, Satan loves you so much because you didn't have fellowship with God today. Pastor, I prayed a prayer. We're going to a church. I've never been to this church before. It's a Baptist church. I said, God, please do something for my family. Pastor, we went to church. The pastor was preaching. And the pastor said something. He like paused. He said, you know, there's a saying about, it goes like this. Do not worship God in the morning. Do not talk anything about God. Just get up and do your own thing. Sign Satan. My daughter-in-law lies. I mean, it just hit her. Pastor, I pray, say, Lord, do something with it. Do you know what happened the next day? The pastor himself went and visit them. They called me and said, Mom, my son said, Mom, you're not going to believe what happened. The pastor came and visited us. I said, excuse me? I said, that was the Lord Jesus Christ, my child. He sent him there.
Amen.
I mean, they were so excited. See, when I pray, I just get serious with God. And I say, God, do something for them. Show them. You know, I told him, Satan, love your child. You know I am. I'm like that. Yeah. And look what happened. And now they're getting serious. Oh, yeah.
Don't you wish you had power with God like Mary does? Well, you do.
Yeah, you do. You just have to exercise.
You have not because of what?
Son,
because you asked not.
Hallelujah,
and you asked not because you're
watching TV.
Your faith is you're watching TV.
One more thing I have to tell you.
Go ahead. Okay.
I guess he was joking anyway. My son actually went to the church one time, but his wife had never gone. My son said to me, Mom, I know you love to say amen. When you go in that church, everybody is quiet. Don't say amen. I say, excuse me? Boy, I couldn't wait to start. Amen in the church. It's true. They don't say amen. I say, amen. Oh, yeah, I got them. You know? Yeah, girl.
It would require duct tape for you not to say amen in the church.
That'd be gorilla duct tape, too.
Some really good duct tape. I'm telling you, it was...
I tell you, saying amen is wonderful. You know, yeah. Pastor, a lady in this church, who was a stranger, she sit with me once. She said, lady, can I sit with you right here in this church? She said, sure. I don't know her. And after service, you know what she said to me? She said, lady, you know why I want to sit with you? I love when you say amen. It does something to my soul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what? Do you know what amen means?
Amen means, so let it be. Praise God. That's what it means.
It means I agree, and I'll pay my share of the expenses.
Hey, you hear that, guys? So don't afraid to say amen. Yeah.
Yeah. I forget where I got that definition, but I liked it.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody else? I don't want to cheat Jesus out of any of this. I got four more coming. All right, Randy, you're next.
I've had a personal issue that I've been battling for a long time. I have somewhat of a short temper. Anyway, I bought a boat motor about a year ago, and it was never just right. And Memorial Day weekend, I took out, she's my cousin, barely got it started. We was in the water. I couldn't get it started. I'm just sitting there, just kind of call my brother. He comes, gets me. Well, it finally started, so I took it on. I put it on the trailer, and I didn't get mad, not one. That was an accomplishment to me. Well, so I put it in the shop, and I explained exactly what was going on, and I called Evinrude, and I said, look, I have a brand new Evinrude motor, and 20-year-old Optimaxes are stocking for y'all. And all they did, they just downloaded this program, came out, and the last two times I've taken it out, it's been beautiful, the way it operates. And it was just a challenge. I know from the good Lord, it's something that I really enjoy doing, that He put me to the test, and it took a long time to get there. And I'm ashamed to say that, but I'm better, right? Thank you.
Amen. Hey, that's a big deal. That's called real growth.
Yes.
It is. Now, see, all right, Francis, and then Ed, and then there was one more. Was it Keith? Yeah, Francis, go ahead.
We're going to have a family visit from Africa.
Yeah?
Today. So we hope and pray that they are starting to come to church.
Well, amen.
Families at home. My daughter's in-laws, Annie's in-laws.
Annie's in-laws.
Yeah, came from Nigeria.
Okay. All right. Well, if you survive that, then you'll know the Lord blessing you. Good. All right. That'll be a fun time. You guys will have a great time. Ed, what's your praise?
This new job that I have.
Yeah.
I work with a lot of different technicians on different jobs.
Yeah.
I was in Beaumont this week working with a really nice guy, and we were rigging a Connex box up to a power plant for their switchgear, and he plugged in a set of Anderson connectors on a big set of cables, and he had them reverse polarity.
Oh my goodness.
And it arc flashed about 1,800 amps in his hands.
Ooh.
And I was standing 6 feet from him. And, it went off, knocked me back. I got a couple bruises. I get up, because I heard him yell momentarily. Smoke, can't see anything inside the Connex box. I'm dreading the worst, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm the guy supposed to do CPR on him if there's anything left. And he come running out of there like a jackrabbit. And I had to chase him. And I turned him around. I'm like, Rodney, you all right? And his gloves were a little scorched. And the worst he got was a second-degree burn on the back of one of his hands. I don't know if you guys know anything about electricity. I've been doing it 30 years. Don't ask me to explain that one, but I'll give a good praise.
I reckon so.
For that one.
Yeah.
Amen on that, brother.
Amen.
So I got him over to the medical to put his hands in some water. Second degree burn was the worst thing.
Surprises,
bro. The whole inside of that cabinet is slack where he was standing in that cabinet.
Melted those connections like they were butter.
It was a DC battery backup pushing four strings, 250 volts at 400 amps a string. But you can't turn it off. There's no lockout, tagout. You can't disconnect the battery if you get across it. So
nobody goes until God says it's time to go. I have seen, we've been seeing that a lot lately, as a matter of fact. Daryl's dad, he put that hollow point 9mm right behind his ear and pulled the trigger. And he's up and around. It's not possible, but it is. You can't leave until God says it's time to go. And you can't stay when God says it's time to go. It's in his hands. If you think about what that's worth, you don't have to worry about lightning. Don't go out there, you'll get hit with lightning. Hey, God wants to hit me with lightning. He'll hit me anywhere I am. It won't matter. I've never been afraid of lightning. I don't know why. I guess that's it. Because I just seem to know that. But sure enough, one of you will go out in a lightning storm and get struck and just say, Pastor told me that.
That means if it happens, it's your time to go.
It is. That's a fact. Sean's been hit by lightning And he's still walking around.
Whoa.
Ask him about it. Of course, he's a little weird, but, you know.
Well, he has a right to be, too, okay?
Well, that makes him fit in here better, so is probably what that does.
I'll tell you, it'll make you stop and think. That's for sure.
It will.
When I was a kid, I got out of the bathtub, and I would take my dress, took my dirty clothes on the other side of the house where the washer and dryer was, came back in the bathroom, and there was this big black burn place on the bathtub.
One of the companies I was working for, they did service work, and we went out and looked. A lightning bolt hit a light pole, and it blew the light pole, the fixture up. It came down, blew the curb out, went about 100 feet down the street, and then jumped onto a driveway, and he got on the cold water pipe, came in through the house, and the wife was running the water for the kid, and her husband says, "Hey, honey, come here." And as soon as she got off the tub, it came out the cold water pipe, and it looked like somebody was standing behind her with a 12-gauge shotgun.
Wow.
And we sold a bunch of surge protectors, but it was just, back then I was knew of the Lord, but did not know of him, if you know what I'm saying. And it was just a miracle that the lady said, as soon as I stood up, it came out.
Yeah, well, Friday, I was going to Glenda's, and I was talking to her on the phone. I said, well, she was wanting me to come on up to her house. And I said, well, I haven't taken a shower yet, and it's storming and thundering lightning, and I don't want to get in there. I mean, it'll have a lasting memory, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
But I did, and I'm here, so.
All good.
I don't have a cast iron bathtub anymore, so.
All good. All right. Keith.
I've been whining about my shoulder for a while, but haven't.
Yeah, you have been whining. That's right.
And went to the doctor, and I'm not doing damage to where I'm going to need surgery, so I can just keep working and keep going.
Amen. That's a blessing. It's kind of like my knees. They still hurt, but they work good.
Yeah.
So I'll take that, you know. Yeah, Gilbert?
I have one more phrase. I'll be visiting my brother who's about, well, he's in his 90s. I'll be flying to Chicago today to see him.
Amen. All right. Okay. Well, that's been a nice praise session today.
Amen.
The one thing that's kind of transpired in this conversation, there's one thing that really comes out of that, and that is that if you're listening, you have figured out that the Lord is in control.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
He is in control.
Yep.
And if you know him, and if you know the kind of love that he has for you, and you kind of have to know that if you know him because of what Jesus went through to take care of that for you.
Amen.
He has only good in store for his children.
Yep.
And whatever you face, whatever you happen, it's for a reason, and it's going to work out for your good before he's done.
Right.
It's a wonderful way to live. Knowing this gives you confidence. It gives you strength. It gives you a whole bunch of stuff. I can't even think of it. Michael.
And it's interesting looking back that if God wants you, he's going to get you even before you know the Lord. How many times, more than a few times, I'd be driving along the freeway and for no reason at all, I'll just jerk the wheel one way or another to get out of the way of something long before I ever knew the Lord. Yeah. So if he wants you, he's getting you.
Satan's taken several shots at me over the years.
Yeah, he does it all.
But the Lord just laughs at him.
Yeah.
He's not doing anything until God says it's time.
That's right.
And I don't expect God's going to let him do it then. So anyway, all right, it's time. Proverbs chapter 12. We have worked our way down through verse 5. You know, I've been reading study ahead, and I'm kind of anxious to get to chapter 13, but I'm not going to rush. We'll just get there. There's some really good stuff in all of this. Verse 6, the words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. What's that mean? I mean, that's kind of complicated there, isn't it? What's he really telling us here? He's talking about people who are literally want to take what you've got and are willing to do anything to do it, to take it. They're willing to kill, willing to murder. But the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Sometimes you become privileged to certain knowledge and you don't know what to do with it. Well, should I tell anybody about that? Should I? You know, we have child protection policy. And part of our child protection policy is that if you have legitimate reason to expect abuse that's going on, whether it's at the home or here or wherever it is, you are obligated to report it. We may not be able to do anything about it because there's not enough evidence to act upon. But we certainly can keep our eyes open and certainly can pay attention specifically to those areas. But if what it's talking about is that, yeah, there's plenty of wicked people out there ready to hurt you, ready to hurt the kids, ready to hurt anybody that's trying to do right. But the mouth of the upright, somebody's going to tell the story.
Yep.
And we need to be upright enough to be, well, what if I say something and they come back at me? Well, it takes a little courage to do this, doesn't it? We need to find that courage. Okay, verse 7. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. I know that it seems like the wicked are prospering and they're going to rule and they're going to win. But that's not the way it is. The wicked are overthrown and are not. You say, well, they're not overthrown. They're still doing it. They're still there. They're still, well, it's coming. You count on it. It's coming. And God says so, and that means it is so. It's coming. What's and are not mean?
They're gone. They don't exist.
It means what happened to Ted Kennedy. He's gone. And are not. But the house of the righteous shall stand. And that's a little more than just saying the righteous shall stand. Talking about your home, talking about your family, talking about those that are in your family. Verse 8, a man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. Sometimes people are commended in the world for other things. Have you seen people commended where you work? A good word that you could put in there to fit a situation might be promoted. A man shall be promoted according to his wisdom. A man shall be commended. A man shall be honored. Several things that you could put in there that would fit this statement. But he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. Sometimes wicked people are put in higher positions. Some of you have talked about that in here before, about someone willing to go along with things that are not particularly right and achieve promotion over it. And the righteous are not willing to go along with those things. And it looks like that they're going to lose because of it. Not in the end. The wicked are overthrown and are not. A man shall be committed according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. Integrity is the way to do it, Matt. You know what integrity means? Somebody tell Matt what integrity means. He already knows anyway, but just point it out.
Doing the right thing when nobody's looking.
Doing the right thing when nobody's looking, it makes no difference.
Like Daniel.
Yeah, like Daniel, like Paul, like Peter, like James and John. And
like Joseph.
Like Joseph, yeah, absolutely. Plenty of examples that are dead. And we need more and more examples that are walking around. Let people see what it's like. I should not have to call my guys on the phone to catch them working when I pull up on a job.
It's going to catch up with them.
Joshua.
Well, I'm teaching Hunter about that sort of thing, doing the stuff the right way when I was looking. And I'll tell him, you do it right when no one's looking because it changes who you are and people will know that you are the person that does it right or not looking because of your character.
Amen.
You can just see that.
Is it common to do wrong when no one's looking?
Yes.
Well, technically, that's not true.
It happens. Oh.
Because there is always somebody looking.
Oh, God.
It was a trick question, I admit. Okay. But, you know, I don't want, and this is the key, and Matt, you can kind of get a hold of this. I don't want to be doing right because I know God's looking. I want to be doing right because it's right.
Right thing to do, yeah.
Does that make a difference? I think it does. If we get our motives in the right place, it's not going to be difficult for us. Okay. Now, verse 9 is going to mess with your head a little bit. He that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. What kind of situation does that fit? What was going on at the palace or in the country somewhere or whatever that Solomon wrote this the way he did under the leadership of God's Spirit? He that is despised and hath a servant. What kind of person has a servant?
Wealthy.
Somebody wealthy enough to take care of the servant and, you know, get more done with more people and doing this. Are people that have more wealth and people working for them or whatever the case may be, are they sometimes despised?
Yes.
Yeah.
What causes that?
Jealousy.
Jealousy is a pretty common commodity, isn't it? It's better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. Who's that? Well, the common man, but it's not just a common man. It's a very specific common man. What kind of common man are we talking about?
Poor.
Huh?
Poor.
Poor? But poor in what?
Proud.
Poor and proud.
Yes, right.
Exactly.
Right.
Poverty is not something to be proud of. I'm sorry, but it's not. You say, well, I'm poor and I'm proud. Well, you need to read Proverbs. That's all I can tell you. God is not happy with poor and proud. God is not happy with poor. The scriptures and the instructions of God are not designed for you to be poor. I'm sorry, but, you know, I mean, the history of Christianity in our country. Look at the songs that were sung 30, 40 years ago. Walking along in this old sinful world. I forget the rest of it, but it's talking about, oh me, I don't have anything here, and I'm bad, and I'm poor, and but when we all get
to heaven, it'll
be different.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but God has not designed you to be poor until you get to heaven. And I know there's riches in heaven, and I know that's beyond our imagination what's coming in heaven. I have been studying this book for a long time, and I've read it through, I don't even know how many times, and I have never found anything in there that says that God wants his children to be poor. Have you ever found anything in the Bible that says that?
No.
Have you ever found anything in the Bible that says that poor is something to be proud of? Now, I have found that God will put you through some testing, and God will leave you lacking till you learn enough to be able to handle what he wants to give you. Yeah, that's for sure. God's going to do that. But for you to stay that way is not God's plan. Michael?
So is the second half of this verse kind of like those people that sit on the sidelines and complain about the rich people and say, you know, these people shouldn't be doing that and shouldn't be getting profit this way and this that, but yet they're sitting on the sidelines and doing nothing and wondering why they're so miserable? Is that kind of sort of what we're talking about?
Sounds kind of like that to me. I think there's a lot of people that fit into this category, unfortunately. Let's none of us be one of them, okay? Let's not any of us be happy that we're broke. I've been broke, and it did not make me happy. Okay, I just, that may sound all complicated, but it's not complicated at all. But he that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. There's a stake going on here in the life of a person, not only that's poor, but a life of a person that honors himself. Honor is not designed to be given to yourself. Gilbert, go ahead.
It's just a comment here. Just coincidence that I was reading that in Deuteronomy, people who come to boast and do not recognize the Lord. But the Lord will humble you, that he might test you to do good to the end. Then you may even say in your heart, by my power and my might and my hand, I gain his wealth. And then you shall remember that the Lord God, for he is the one who gives you power.
He is the power to get wealth. Amen. Amen. Good job. That definitely fits the program here. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. How many of you own critters? Ed, what kind of critter do you guys have?
Black lab.
A black?
Lab.
A black lab, a dog. I know Charles has some dogs. And boy, we all know that Karen has a dog. If you could call it a dog. I mean, it's like,
that's a fur baby.
It's a fur ball that with some life in there somehow and a tongue that licks. How many of you have anything besides a cat or a dog?
Cockroaches count?
Oh, no. What do you have, Tyler?
Ferret.
A ferret. Oh, you got a ferret? Oh, we had a ferret once. Willie the ferret. Man, he was hilarious. But if they ever get out, it's over.
No, he's roaming about in the house.
In the house, yeah. But if he ever gets outside and
I love him outside, too.
Well, without you there, though, boy, those guys tend to leave. Anyway, Keith.
I got an 18-year-old son.
You got what? An 18-year-old son. He just called you a beast, Matt. Now, I realize that the context of the scripture here is primarily talking about your beast of burden, or your sheep, or your cattle, horse, mule, that sort of thing. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. But the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Cruelty to animals. Now, I understand that those that want to save the whales, but don't care about whether we kill the babies, the humans, are out of place. They got their priorities in the wrong place. However, there really is no excuse to being cruel to animals. God does not want us to be cruel to animals. He doesn't. There's several things. How does a hunter not be cruel to animals?
Clean kill.
A clean kill.
And no waste.
That's coming up, by the way, as we go on further here. A clean kill. What happened? What happened in the Old West? If a horse stepped in a gopher hole and broke his leg,
Put him down.
They're going to shoot him in the head and not let him suffer. Is that regarding the life of the beast, or is that being cruel?
Regarding the life of the beast.
What happens now when a horse breaks a leg?
You spend up $10,000 trying to get it fixed.
You put them in a big sling where they stand. You're hung in the air, and you splint the leg, and you give them some painkillers. If it's a really good horse, you know. If it's not, well, you know, there's that. You do what you're able to do to spare the cruelty of the animal. That's what God requires of us. It's there. I mean, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. But the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. I think that's enough said. Amen? I think there are limits. You know, I wouldn't want you to spend, you know, your life savings to lengthen a pet's life for a few months or a year or so when it would be, you know, and I know it'd be heartbreaking, you know, a lot of times, because sometimes your pets are, well, they get into your life to the point that sometimes maybe might be too far, actually, but who's to judge? I'll leave that to the Lord. But he that tilleth his land. Now we're going to start into whether you're going to work or be lazy. Now, Matt, you get ready to walk out into the world as a man, taking care of yourself and on your own one of these days. You're going to be diligent and go-getter, or are you going to be lazy? That's the decision. That's a big thing you're going to have to decide on. In my opinion and my take from the Lord is that he would much rather you have you be a go-getter than to be lazy. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Give me a modern day example of that situation right there.
Following an NBA player.
Following it,
like a basketball star, they're vain. And
I think it's like the Wall Street protesters we used to have a couple years ago. You're rich, give me your money.
Let's go to the Democratic rhetoric.
We're going to get political again here in a minute. Don't get these two started over here. Just don't. Just.
People that work for their money, you know.
Welfare.
All right, and then the people that don't work for their money. Yeah.
All right.
Democrat.
Yeah.
There's really not very many people in here that have been raised in the hood, so to speak. Some of you know what that's like. Matthew's raised in the hood. You don't get to choose where you're raised. There's a phenomenon in the hood that goes on. And most of the kids that grow up, quote, in the hood, don't have a whole lot of leadership in their life. It's common. Some of them look around and they see, I'm raised out in the country with no place, no way to get anywhere. And my only friends were a dog and a pet raccoon. But that's, you know, that's about it. And so it kind of like a antithesis one or the other, but the result's kind of the same. You look around, and what do you see? Over there, you see people working and driving nice cars and coming to work every day and doing their thing. And then over here, you see guys standing on the corner. They're doing what they do standing on the corner. In my day, it was hanging out at the pool hall instead of standing on the corner or doing whatever. So you got guys that are turning their back on the majority and going out, maybe standing alone, maybe have to be by yourself to do it, but going out and decide, well, I'm going to get a job and I'm going to make some money and I'm not going to have to worry about the police checking out everything I've got to do. I'm going to go till my land and I'll be satisfied with bread. Now, that's a farmer's perspective, but in a city, it would be, I'm going to get a job. I don't care if it's at McDonald's or where it is. I'm going to go work hard, and I'm going to advance myself, and I'm going to make a living, and I'm not going to be part of that. Or you can have the other choice, and you're going to follow the gang, the drug dealer, the whoever, the vain person. Vain means pretty much worthless, useless. Not productive. And he that followeth vain persons is what? Void of understanding. You had your hand up.
I was just going to say it's the fast life.
Yeah.
It's getting money quick.
Try to get quick, easy money. Easy money. Denise?
If you've ever seen that, going back to the TV thing, that movie Gran Torino is a good example. You had the one young boy that wanted to do well and didn't want to get caught up in the gangs, and you know, he had one person that helped to influence him to do right and help him.
The wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. What in the world is this talking about?
They desire the company of evil men?
For what they have?
What do evil men do? Matt?
I would say, doing like evil things behind God.
The guys on the corner, Matt, you know who I'm talking about, right? Do they just stay on the corner and mind their own business, or are they casting a blanket trying to pull others in? There's where we are. There's what we're talking about. Gilbert?
Yeah, you have that association in Heavy in Chicago. You have the Latin Kings, the Morgan Deuces, and a bunch of other names in there. But they will go ahead and recruit. And they'll even go into a house where to visit the parents to say, we'd like your son to join our group.
Yeah.
And they basically try to retain territory, in a matter of speak, their surroundings and sort of control the neighborhood.
Yeah. If you're going to set up a net, now, back in the day before, well, I guess it's been illegal since I've been alive, but when I was growing up in the country, way out in the sticks, the consensus was if the hunting season was closed and you needed some meat, well, just kind of close it back after you get through. It's kind of like a gate, you know. That's not the right way to do things, but that's how it was done when I grew up. If you're going to catch quail, I don't know if you've ever realized that quail can be trapped. It's, you know, legal to shoot them with shotgun during quail season, but guys back then would trap quail. And they would sometimes use a net. And actually, there's another kind of a trap that's made out of slats, wooden slats, that work really well as well. But one thing you're going to have, if you're going to use a net to catch something, is you're going to have some bait. You know, you'd want to use some corn or some this. What kind of bait do evil men use in their net?
Money.
Status, power.
How about that big, heavy gold chain around the neck? Oh, man, look at that guy. Yeah.
New clothes, new shoes.
New clothes. Got the Nikes and the latest, greatest Jordans and the flashy car, Oh, man, there's a lot of bait out there. Don't fall for the bait. Amen?
Amen.
The other half of the verse. But the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. This is a little bit difficult to really put specific definition on. But think about the roots of whatever. If it's a tree root or if it's... Do you have roots? The roots go down and they anchor. Righteous people that know the Lord, that's who the righteous are. We know that you need to be planted in the house of God for one thing, right? We've learned that already. And the deeper your roots are, the more fruit you're going to bear. So get yourself planted in God's house. You're sitting here in God's house right now. Set your roots down. Set them deep. Give me some synonyms for the roots of somebody whose roots are planted in God's house. What are those? Give me some synonyms for those roots.
Foundation.
That's a good one. Faithful. What about loyalty?
Integrity.
A life with roots sunk deep in integrity. I'm not doing it if it's not right. That's a righteous man who's got his roots planted in right principles. Amen? So the root of the righteous yieldeth what? Fruit. And fruit's italicized. So what it yields is many things. It just yields. It keeps producing when everything else dries up. There's some really good stuff here. You got to think about it. Proverbs really makes your head hurt sometimes because you got to think so much. But it really does. And what you end up with when you get there, the wicked are waiting, and this is so especially applied to our younger people. And if you're under 60, well, you're probably fit, okay? But there's always some job or some group or some person that's willing to take you in and be your leader to some end that's not where God would put you. It might be we have a phenomenon in Texas. Now, I've never been involved in it, but I've driven by it many times. And it's called the Ice House. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
You got guys that after work, they got a place, and they're going to go there and they're going to drink beer and they're going to hang out with the buddies. And who you hang out with is who you're going to be like. So if you want to be like the guys that hang out at the Ice House and leave weaving in and out of the stripes on the road and end up, you ever seen one of the buddies at the Ice House ever end up bearing very good fruit? No. You need to choose who you're going to hang out with based on how you want to end up, because you're probably going to end up just like those you hang out with. That's why hanging out in God's house is such a good thing. Michael, then Mary.
In the FPU class, there was a phrase that Ramsey used that's kind of applicable here from a different perspective. He was talking about, you know, building wealth and being disciplined, but he says, live like no one else so that later you can live and give like no one else. And the philosophy kind of applies here to stick to your roots, even though you might be despised and scorned and this and that, so that later on you'll reap the benefits of all that fruit.
Yeah, amen. Before we wrap it up, Mary, yes, sorry.
I just want to read on Psalm 1:3 where it said, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Amen. That's what we're talking about. That's the roots planted in the house of God. But also, not just that, although that's primary, planted in the right principles. You know, you need a code. We all have one. There's this we will do, and there's this we won't do. We all have one. Let's move that code into right principles and live there and sink our roots deep there. The deeper your roots are sunk into right principles, the less you're going to ever be tempted to not do what you ought to be doing.